The question that we're going to take up is a question that has been asked a number of times. I've gotten a number of emails about this. I haven't taught on this previously because I don't have a definitive answer, and I still don't have a definitive answer. But I thought, you know, let's take up the question and let's take a look at it, and maybe this will be of some help. Here's what the question is. The question is, who are the 24 elders in the book of Revelation? Who are the 24 elders in the book of Revelation? Now, one thing I could do is I could say, well, you know, I don't know. And this will be our shortest program, and we're all done. But what I thought would be a better, more productive thing to do would be to walk through with you how you might think about that question. So get with me Acts 17, and then get Isaiah 28, and then get 1 Corinthians 2. So let's start in Acts 17. London, UK. So there is also a London, Ohio, and that's close by. So we've got that covered. But there is some folks in London, UK that would like to start a Grace Church. So please reach out if you're interested. So we're going to look at Acts 17, verse 11. Now, as preface, let me say this. It doesn't really matter to me that much whether you happen to agree with the conclusions I reach or not, because, you know, you have freedom of conscience and you need to believe what you understand the scriptures to say. You don't need to believe things that I say. What we're really hoping to do with this program is to give you some tools, to give you some skills that you can then apply so you can study the Bible for yourself. So look with me at Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they had a positive frame of mind toward the scriptures. They were willing to receive it. But notice what they then did. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So we hope what we're doing is we hope we're encouraging you to search the scriptures daily, to take things that you learn on this program or things that you hear from other places and you explore them. You search them out in the scriptures to validate whether they're true or not. Oftentimes people teach things that they think are true and they're just innocently mistaken, which is why it's necessary for the Bible believer to personally validate, to search the scriptures whether those things were so. So hopefully you're convinced of the need to personally study the scriptures. Now get with me Isaiah, and we're going to compare Isaiah 28 and 1 Corinthians 2. Isaiah 28 and 1 Corinthians 2. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? In whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So if you take those verses for what they say, how does God teach someone doctrine? How does he cause them to understand knowledge? Well, he does that by precept upon precept, line upon line, and then it says helpfully, here a little and there a little. Here's what happens in typical Bible study. The typical way that people approach Bible study is the preacher gets up and he says, this is my text. And he reads a number of verses and then he talks about that text for a long time. He may spend time looking at the meaning of Greek words, but he takes that text and tries to pull apart that text, focusing on that text. And what Isaiah 28 tells you is that's really not the way to do Bible study. The way that you do Bible study is it's line upon line, precept upon precept, but it's here a little and there a little. So what happens is whenever you come across a mysterious passage, the answer is not to drill down into that passage and take apart each word and look at the meaning in the Greek and then get 20 Bible commentaries and focus all your intention on one verse. That's not productive. What is productive is to say, let me find the other verses in Scripture, wherever they are, that explain this verse, because those verses are there. The Scriptures cannot be broken. God has laid them out here a little and there a little, and our job as Bible students is simply to find where they are. That's much harder than simply saying, this is my text, and I'm going to read this text again and again and again, and that'll give me the answer. Well, it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to find other verses that explain the meaning of the text. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice with me verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. How does the Holy Ghost teach? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the way that the Holy Ghost teaches you is by comparing verse with verse. Now let's, with that as context, get with me Revelation 5. So now we're going to turn to one of the key passages that talks about the 24 elders. We're going to read it, and then once we read it, we're going to apply the principles we just covered. Revelation chapter 5, notice with me verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, that's who we're looking at, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, what people frequently ask is they ask the question, well, who are these 24 elders? We don't read them about them in a lot of other places. Who are they? What are they doing? And it's just a common question people have. Now, the first thing that we can notice from this passage is notice in verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, based upon that verse right there, what does it tell us about who these 24 elders have to be? Well, we're told that God made them kings and priests, but what does it say about where they will reign? It says specifically that they shall reign on the earth. So what does that tell us? Is it something that is certain members of the body of Christ? I don't think it can be. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some folks have expressed the opinion that the 24 elders have something to do with the body of Christ. At least that's what I've heard on the internet. But I've learned, I actually did a double check on this. There are some things on the internet that are not true, and I'm sorry to break that news to everyone, but I'm just being honest with you. So you can't believe everything you read on the web. Now look at me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's our body, we have a building of God and house not made with hands. Notice what it says, eternal in the heavens. Now you already know from Ephesians 1:13 that the body of Christ is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The reason why the body of Christ is caught up is that we go up to heaven, and that's where we're going to be for eternity. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says about our body is that it is eternal in the heavens. So, how long is eternal? Well, it's pretty long. So, when you think about Revelation 5, verse 10, and the 24 elders are said to reign on the earth, then that's not the body of Christ, because the body of Christ does not reign on the earth. Now, I know that it's often taught that the body of Christ returns with Christ at the second coming, but that's just not so. The body of Christ has a building, as the verse says here, that's an house not made with hands. Eternal in the heavens. Well, if it's eternal in the heavens, it's not going to be for 1,000 years on the earth. So what we know from Revelation 5 is that the 24 elders, they're not related. They're not part of the body of Christ. That's not what they are. They have to be related to the prophetic program in some capacity. Now, what's fascinating about that, look with me at Revelation 1, verse 6. Revelation chapter 1. So one of the normal things you would do is if you're trying to understand the 24 elders and you know that they're kings and priests, one of the rational things to do is look for other verses that talk about kings and priests. So look with me at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that would seem to be a sound cross-reference that reads similarly to the description of the 24 elders. Now, let's close this out, and so let's go here. So now what we're going to do, I'm going to play the Jeopardy music in just a minute, give you time to think about this. But here's the question I want you to ask. So we've seen the 24 elders in Revelation chapter 5. We've seen the principle that to understand what's going on in that passage, we need to find the relevant cross-references. So to do that, what we're going to do is we're going to run some Bible searches. We're going to use our friend, the Blue Letter Bible. I'm going to give you 30 seconds here, and I want you to think through what are the natural searches you should run to find the relevant cross-references. Ready? Go. Some of you are going to find this hard to believe, but my application for Dancing with the Stars was rejected. And I don't know why that is, but I was very disappointing to me because I thought I had real potential. All right, so what are the searches we should run? Here you go. I'm going to walk you through the ones that I think make sense, and then we'll look at some of the most intriguing possibilities. So the first one I would run is I would run Elder Wild Card. So Elder with the asterisk, also known as the Wild Card. And I'm going to hit search, and we'll just see what this pulls up. So obviously, if you're trying to understand the 24 elders, a word that you would search for, obviously, would be Elder. So if we run that, we get 199 times, and we see things like the brother of Japheth the Elder. And so you might look through all of them. What I would be inclined to do myself is I would go to Advanced Options right here, click on Advanced Options, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down here and I'm going to pick the Book of Revelation, and then I'm going to rerun the search. And now what that's going to do is it's going to give me 12 hits that are in the Book of Revelation. And the idea here is you might read all 199, but if you're starting and you're just trying to think through this, the logical question is, well, where else does the Book of Revelation talk about elders? And if you run this search, you'll see all those other verses that obviously would be good to consult. So that's easy step number one. Now, what's step number two? What I would do is step number two is I would run a search for 20 elder. And so what I'm going to do there is T-W-E-N-T wildcard, E-L-D-E-R wildcard. So that will pick up 20 elders, 20th elder, 23 elders. In other words, it's going to capture all of those things. So I would run that as the next one, and that'll pick up all the verses that have the word 20 in any form and the word elder in any form. Now, we can see the results there that come back from that. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute. If you run a search for 20 elders and you want to see those hits, what's the logical next search you need to run? based upon the fact that the Bible uses synonyms. So you're aware of this, I trust, but the Bible uses synonyms. So, for example, the Bible uses the word faith, and the Bible uses the word believe, and those two words are used in a way that mean the same thing in the Scriptures. Well, if you just ran the word 20, you should also run the word score, right? The word score is a word we may not use a lot today, but Scripture uses it, and the word means 20. So you should also run score wildcard, elder wildcard. So we would run that search and see what it comes up with. And so I'm not paging through all the results because I ran these searches earlier, and what I'm going to do shortly is I'm going to take you to the possibilities that I think are the most intriguing. So we would run score of elders and we would see what it comes up with. Now, the next thing that we would do after that, okay, you can see this one doesn't return any hits, so nothing there to look at. The next thing I would do is I would run score 4. In Excel, let's do it this way. Let's run 20 first. So if I run 20 and 4. So now this one doesn't have elder, but this will simply show me every time that the word 24 appears in the Scriptures. Because maybe the verses don't use the word elders. Maybe it uses the word bishops or a different word. So I would run 24 and see all of those hits. And once I did that, I would then run the same thing with score. Score and 4, and that will give me every time that score and 4 appear in the Scriptures. Now, those pull up a number of various different hits. What I want to focus on now with you is I want to look at what I think are the three most likely possibilities as to what the 24 elders are. But whether you agree with these or not, you have, I hope, the techniques so you can search this out for yourself. So the first one we're going to look at is, get with me, 1 Chronicles 25. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. And from my searching, I came across what I think are three interesting possibilities as to what the 24 elders are. And I'll just share them with you and you can evaluate. So the first one is 1 Chronicles 25, and what we're going to see in 1 Chronicles 25 is that there are 24 leaders of song in the house of the Lord in 1 Chronicles 25. And so obviously what makes that an intriguing possibility is it has the number 24. So let's look at this just for a moment. 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was. And it's going to give you there a list of the different personnel that were involved. Look with me at 1 Chronicles 25, verse 6. So go down to verse 6. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God. Now, why is that verse interesting? It specifically says that they were given harps. And when we read Revelation 5, if you recall, we did this just a few moments ago, what did the 24 elders have? They had harps. You can go back to Revelation 5 and double check that. Look with me at verse 7. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 248. So what's 248? What is that number? So what's 80? Well, score is 20, so 80 is 80. So the number in verse 7 is 288. Well, that's not 24, is it? So maybe this isn't quite what we're looking for. I don't know. Look at verse 9. Now the first lot came forth for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, who with his brethren and sons were 12. The third to Zachar, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. The fourth to Isri, he, his sons, and his brethren were 12. And as you look at the verses, it's pretty obvious what's going on. There are, as you go through the chapter, there are all these folks that are in groups of 12. Go down to verse 31. The fourth and 20th to Romatizer, he, his sons, and brethren were 12. Now, you probably already figured this out. 288 is 24 times 12. So what happens is there were 24 leaders of song, if you will, and they each had a group of 12, and that is what added up to the 288. So the first possibility for the 24 elders in Revelation 5 is maybe it's these 25 song leaders that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 25. The interesting thing about that is there's 24 song leaders here. Their responsibility in 1 Chronicles 25 is to lead in song. When we looked at the 24 elders in Revelation 5, what were they doing? They were singing. These song leaders have harps. The folks in Revelation 5 had harps. So it seems like that's an interesting possibility. Now, the question I wonder, though, is when you look at 1 Chronicles 25, verse 7, it seems like the relevant number is more 200, 48 rather than 24, because what happens is it's all of them acting together. It's not just the 24 leaders. It's the 24 leaders with their group of 12. So maybe this isn't quite the right possibility. I don't know. It was intriguing enough that it's on the list of things that should be considered. So I wanted to share that. So that's option one as to what the 24 elders could be. Option two is 1 Chronicles 24. If you're in 1 Chronicles 25, you'll be able to find it fairly easily. It's just a little bit to the left. So in 1 Chronicles 24, there is a 24-priest rotation of the Aaronic priesthood who served in the house of the Lord. In other words, the Aaronic priesthood that was given in the Old Testament obviously served in the house of the Lord, and there was a 24-priest rotation that served. So that seems interesting, doesn't it? The number matches. So look with me at 1 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Verse 2, but Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. So Aaron has some sons, but some of them die prematurely. So it's the other sons that execute the priest's office. 1 Chronicles 24, verse 4, and there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. So Eleazar has 16, Ithamar has 8, 16 plus 8 is 24. Now, if you go down to verse 7, what they're going to do is they're going to cast lots as to how the priests will serve. Now, the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah. Verse 8, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, and so on. Then if you go down to verse 18, the 23rd to Deliah, the 24th to Maziah. So you can see there's 24 different chief men of Eleazar and Ithamar's house that serve in the house of the Lord. Verse 19, these were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord. So obviously they're serving in the house of the Lord. They're acting as priests. So as you think about this as a possibility, 1 Chronicles 24, these 24 members of the Aaronic priesthood, one reason it might make a lot of sense is, well, there were 24 Aaronic priests, and there's 24 elders. So the the numbers match up pretty well. When we were in Revelation 5, it told us that those 24 elders were made kings and priests on the earth. Well, these folks are part of the Aaronic priesthood, so doesn't that fit rather nicely? So this option is sort of intriguing, but I'll tell you there's reasons I wonder whether this is the answer. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And let's look at verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, that's the Aaronic priesthood right there, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? In other words, what that verse is saying is that the Aaronic priesthood wasn't perfect. It was not the ultimate answer. There was going to need to be something else. Look at verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, so there's a change away from the Aaronic priesthood, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So let's make sure we understand what's going on here. So we know that Moses is given in the Old Testament law, and he's given the book of Leviticus, and there is a priesthood established in Leviticus that pertains to Aaron and his sons. It's called the Aaronic priesthood because all of those priests are descendants of Aaron. But the point that's being made in Hebrews 7 is the Aaronic priesthood is not perfect, and it will not continue forever. And in fact, what it says in verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was from the tribe of Judah, and he is said to be the capital H, capital P priest in the book of Hebrews. In other words, he's not according to the Aaronic priesthood. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, is what the verses say. Now notice verse 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. In other words, the Aaronic priesthood was done away with. It was disannulled. Why? Because it was weak and it was unprofitable. It doesn't seem like the Aaronic priesthood is not the long-term eternal answer, is it? So it would seem sort of odd that the Aaronic priesthood would be what's referenced in Revelation 5, or we should at least think about whether it is. Now look with me at verse 23. Well, let's start in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Well, when is the Old Testament done away with? The Old Testament was put in force in Exodus 24, and it continued in force, and it continues in force during the 70th week, but it is done away with when the new covenant is put into place. And that new covenant is put into place at the second coming. So when you think of Revelation 5 and it talks about kings and priests that shall reign on the earth, well, that is obviously after the second coming. If it's after the second coming, it's after the new covenant, the New Testament, is fully put into place. So it would be odd for that to be the Aaronic priesthood. It doesn't feel right, does it? Look with me at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So when we were in 1 Corinthians 24 and we were looking at the 24 members of the Aaronic priesthood. Those were obviously the original members, but what happened? They died and they had to be replaced by new members. So even though 1 Chronicles 24 has some intriguing things, some intriguing similarities to the 24 elders, because both of them refer to priests, they both have the number 24, it seems like it's very similar. I'm not sure that the 24 priests of the Aaronic priesthood that we see in 1 Chronicles 24, I'm not sure that's the answer for Revelation 5. Maybe it is, and maybe it is, but I'm not sure that it is. So what does that bring us to next? What's option three? Option three is the 12 sons of Jacob plus the 12 apostles. So what we looked at earlier in option one was the 24 song leaders of 1 Chronicles 25, and of course the 24 matches the 24 elders. The next option was we were looking at 1 Chronicles 24, and we were looking at the 24 members of the Aaronic priesthood. Maybe those were the 24 elders. There aren't any other groups of 24 that I'm aware of that really make a lot of sense. At least I couldn't find them. Maybe you can, and if you do, then send me an email and let me know. But the other thing that I ponder is this. If you think of the 12 sons of Jacob plus the 12 apostles, of course, 12 plus 12 equals 24. We all know that. And you say, okay, fine, yeah, I get it, Dave. 12 plus 12 equals 24. That's not a news flash. But why would you add those two together? Why would you do that? The reason why, get with me Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Now, in Revelation 21, we're going to read about the New Jerusalem. And when you read about the New Jerusalem, it's fascinating how it's described. So let's start in verse 10, Revelation 21, verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So this obviously is the New Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem. It descends out of heaven from God and it sits upon the new earth. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So when you think about the New Jerusalem, it descends out of heaven, and there are three gates on each side. There is 12 gates in total, and there's names written on the gates. What are the names? Well, those names are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the New Jerusalem itself testifies to the 12 tribes. Now notice verse 13. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. Notice verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Well, that's fascinating. So the New Jerusalem has two 12s that are featured pretty prominently. The gates have the names of the 12 tribes, and there are 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles. There's no other names I'm aware of that are involved in the structure of the New Jerusalem. So that clearly adds to 24. And it makes me wonder if the 24 elders might be simply the 12 apostles plus the 12 sons of Jacob representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, you can think through whether or not that makes sense. Let me give you a couple reasons why it might. Look with me at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. So in Exodus 19, we see what Moses spoke to Israel as he's giving them the law. And Exodus 19 is instructive because it tells us something about God's very purpose with Israel. So look with me at Exodus 19, verse 6. And ye, this is Israel, shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So notice this. We know that in the book of Leviticus, the Aaronic priesthood is established. And so the priesthood is all the descendants of Aaron. It's not from the tribe of Judah. We already saw that in the book of Hebrews. But when we read Exodus 19, what does it describe as the purpose for the children of Israel? In other words, all 12 tribes. See, Exodus 19:6 refers to all of Israel. And it says that God's intent is to make them a kingdom of priests. So God's design for all of Israel was for them to be a kingdom of priests. So that's interesting. So it's proper, it seems, to think about all 12 tribes, all the 12 sons of Jacob, as being priests, because that was God's original intent. That's the purpose that he will ultimately fulfill with the 12 tribes of Israel. Now get with me Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And look with me at verse 28. Matthew 19 and verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, this is the 12, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the 12 apostles were specifically told that they would sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They're sitting on a throne. It sounds a lot like being a king, doesn't it? So when you think of Revelation chapter 5, when it talks about the 24 elders and says that they sing a new song, and that song describes them as being kings and priests. Well, that seems to fit awfully well with the 12 apostles, because the 12 apostles are going to sit on 12 thrones. And it seems to fit pretty well with the 12 tribes of Israel, because God's purpose for the nation of Israel was to make them a kingdom of priests. So what we have there is we have three different scriptural possibilities as to who the 24 elders are. I can't say which one of those is the definitive answer. Perhaps the definitive answer is something else that I haven't found. But what I would encourage you to do is to study these things out. Take a look at these verses, scrutinize them, run your own searches, come up with what the answer is, and then tell me. And when you tell me, I'll record a new video and we'll give them the definitive answer and we can delete this one. But my encouragement to you is this. What you want to have is you want to have the full assurance of understanding. And you get that by studying the verses yourself. In other words, with your own investment of time and energy and your soul interacting with the Word of God, the Word of God will be built into your soul in a powerful way. Could I give you this word of encouragement? What's happening right now during this unusual time in which we live is people are panicking. They're fearful. They look at the developments in society around them and they're worried and they're concerned. And the world's a crazy place. But listen, the world's been a crazy place for a long time. I mean, you realize at one point, God flooded it and killed everyone except 8 people. So if you look out and you say, well, things are pretty crazy, listen, it's been crazier, right? I mean, there have been crazier times than this. But what's happening is people are concerned because they're fearful and they're not letting the Word of God influence their thinking. They're letting news media influence their thinking. Well, how many times does the news media run a story that say, good, great news, there was a new Bible study started today in this town, or there was a new church planted, or these folks got saved? There's no stories about that, because the stories always focus on basically sin. They focus on evil. developments that people somehow find interesting. Well, what's happening right now is people are focusing on news stories and Twitter and Facebook and all sorts of communication vehicles of the world rather than the Word of God. Well, are you going to find peace? Are you going to find comfort? Are you going to find assurance in the information of this world? It's not there. This world itself is going to perish. So my encouragement to you would be to get in this book. Take the principles that we've showed you, which you can use yourself, and you can, Blue Letter Bible is free, and you can study these things out for yourself so that you can be fully persuaded in your own mind. We encourage you to do that. Well, thank you for spending some time with us. It's a joy. We wish you were here with us virtually, and we look forward to seeing you all in physical presence. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We thank you that eternal life is a free gift. We thank you that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer and that it is impossible to lose our salvation. We are just blessed beyond description by all that you have done for us. Help us to rejoice in that. Help us to walk in that truth. And we give you all the glory. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.